In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. How many of you have ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Fiorello LaGuardia? Fiorello LaGuardia. Some of you have heard of him. You haven't heard of him. Maybe you've been through his airport. It's awful. Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York City in the 30s and 40s. He was mayor of New York City in the 30s and 40s, and he had sort of this larger-than-life persona. He was known as the Little Flower. He always had this carnation in his lapel, and he stood 5 foot 4 inches tall, which is a perfectly acceptable height for a man. Perfectly acceptable. And he would ride around on fire engines and raid speakeasies with the police. And every once in a while, he'd show up to night court in one of the city wards and would act as a judge. And so one evening, he does this. And he tells the judge he can go home and have supper. And so he sits down at the judge's bench and he starts weighing in on these cases. And towards the end of the evening, this woman, an elderly woman, is brought before him. And she's accused of stealing bread from a bakery. And the woman says, "Mayor, I'm so sorry. My daughter is sick. Her husband has run off. And my grandchildren were hungry. I didn't have any money. I had to do something." And so LaGuardia looks at the baker who's had her hauled in, and he said, it's a tough neighborhood, Your Honor. We let this person do this. My whole shop will get robbed every single day." And LaGuardia nodded his head and says, "You're absolutely right. For the theft of this bread, I'm going to fine you $10. And as he's saying this, he's reaching into his pocket, and he pulls out a $10, which I am paying now. And then he says, "And furthermore, I'm fining everyone in this room 50 cents for living in a city where a grandmother has to steal bread to feed her starving grandchildren." So everybody pulls out their pockets, even the bailiff, even the baker pulls out 50 cents. They collect $47.50, according to the New York Times, and they give it to this bewildered old lady who had just been hauled in there for theft. I think that's an amazing story. It gives part of the reason why so many people love this man, why he was so fair and so loved. But I think it also says something to us. And I want us to talk a little bit about the gospel lesson that we had today. In that gospel lesson, Jesus is preaching. And he goes through quite a few well-known statements. And he's talking about the law, because the law says this. The law says you cannot commit adultery. The law says you cannot murder. The law says you can divorce. The law says that you can swear. But here's the deal. Just because it says that the law says that you can or cannot do something, that's not really the point. The point of the matter is that the law is just what you're doing on the outside. Just what you're doing on the outside. But that's not really the relationship that God has in mind for each and every one of us with those around us. God expects, wants, desires for each and every single one of us to have a holistic relationship with all of those people around us. And we can't do that if we have hate, if we have malice, if we have to actually swear instead of always being truthful. Here's the other thing. Then this is the divorce one, I think, has caused a lot of heartache. And so I'm going to spend just a moment, and we're going to talk about that one for a second. So to this end, in that time, in that place, if you're looking at divorcing someone, a divorced woman, has no legal standing in the community. So if a man divorces a woman, this particular woman no longer has money, no longer has property. no longer has access to her children. She is essentially thrown out into the street. It's not just a matter that you get tired of her. You've now forced her to beg and probably sell herself out on the streets. That doesn't really sound like a kind of loving relationship that God expects for all of us to take care of each other with or to experience. We often look at that, and it's sort of one of those clobber texts where we want to read it literally instead of actually taking the time to look at what it's saying to us. This is a side note. It is a horrible idea to review things in the past with modern lenses. It's a horrible idea to judge people of the past with the sense of morality and justice that we have today, because just because it's true today doesn't mean that it was absolutely accurate 150 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago. That's a side rant. Now we're going to go back to the sermon, okay? C.S. Lewis also famously said, and I'm going to paraphrase this here, that we Anglicans take the Bible too seriously to take it literally. And I think that that's an important frame of reference for us to remember as we are looking through the Bible and what it's actually telling us. So, my brothers and sisters, whenever Jesus is preaching this text, he's saying that it matters what we do, but it matters just as much what's in our heart, what our intent is, what the ramifications of our actions actually are. We as Christians are called to be people who live differently, who live radically, who love abundantly. My brothers and sisters, I would suggest to you that in order to change the world, in order to make the world the place of good relationships, of love and charity, in order to do that, we have to act differently all the time. That's a tall order. It's a tall order to call for us to be different than what some of our human nature wants us to actually be. It's a tall order for us to expect better of ourselves than maybe we necessarily figure we can do. We are not called to be perfect. We are called to follow a perfect person. I think I said that last week, and it's still true, my brothers and sisters. We are not called to always be perfect. We are called to try. We are called to try to be different in this world. And whenever we do experience that anger or that malice or that whatever may be inside our souls, we recognize that and then we try to shift our trajectory. Because what is in our hearts is so important to God. Because our hearts are where that love and where that compassion begins to emanate from. And if we're going to change this world, those small thoughts, those small changes in how we interact with others, those little acts of charity and grace that we give to people through our daily lives, my brothers and sisters, I believe that is the tax that the fine that each and every single one of us must pay for living in a broken world. So my brothers and sisters, as we go out this week and every single week of our lives, I do earnestly pray that each and every one of us will pay that fine, pay it forward, and enable this world to truly be the place that God dreams for it to be. Love. Love each other. Keep it in your heart as much as possible. That is the will of God. That is our goal. That is what we will strive for, my brothers and sisters. Amen.